Thank you to Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm, proud partner of the Lakers Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm is excited and proud to partner with the Lakers Talk Podcast. If you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
Lakers Talk is on from the winning tradition of the Los Angeles Lakers.
You got 19 or 20 years to play with the Lakers.
Yeah, 19 or 20 at least.
It's over, and the most valuable player is Magic Johnson.
Kobe underneath gives it up.
The future legends of the purple and gold.
LeBron on a breakaway, and the first basket of his Laker career is a tomahawk dunk.
There is not a better duo in the NBA than LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
It's going to be fun for sure. I'll put our roster up against anybody.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
Laker fans, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go for the next hour. Nice two games for the Los Angeles Lakers. We all thought the world was about to end. Myself included, by the way. All thought the world was going to end. Lakers had lost four games in a row and then come back with two solid victories. Good win against the Portland Trail Blazers a couple nights ago, and then a good win last night against the Dallas Mavericks. Back-to-back wins, actually, Saturday and Sunday. Lakers getting back on track. Couple things we're going to do in tonight's show. One of the main things I want to talk about is just the position that the Lakers are in right now, and then what's coming up in January. There are some very favorable games in the month of January. There are some very tough games in the month of January. And there's one game that stands out in the month of January that, in my opinion, will determine whether this team right now, with the roster that's currently constructed, is good enough to win an NBA championship. I think you guys know which game that I'm talking about. And then also, how about legendary commentator, color commentator for the Los Angeles Lakers since 1987, Stu Lance, is going to hop on Lakers Talk in about a half hour or so. I grew up watching and listening to Stu Lance, so for me, it means so much to have him on the show and to be a part of this broadcast, so I'm looking forward to talking to him about the current state of the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, let's start with this. I like the position that we're in right now. These last two games helped the Lakers close out the month at 9-5. 14 games in the month of December. You close out the year with these two wins against two teams that will most likely be in the playoffs. I know Portland's five games below 500 and still in the eighth seed, and everybody is wondering how the hell can a team five games below 500 still be in the Western Conference playoff picture, but this season they can. But I like the way the Lakers finished off the month. I like that they went 9-5 on the season. MT and I were doing the pregame show. We were walking into December right before the season started, or before the month started. Their first game, actually, against the Dallas Mavericks was on December 1st. They lost that game at home. And we were going through all the games. Okay, what's the Lakers' record going to be? And we said if they're better than 9-5, 9-5 or better, that's a good month. Now, remember, we had all those road games coming up. You were at Denver. You were at Utah. You had two games at Portland, at Miami, at Milwaukee, at Indiana. You play the Clippers, obviously, the Christmas night game that everyone's trying to forget, but we can't forget, and I'll probably bring it up 30 more times before we play them again on January 28th. But you had a schedule in December where we knew it was going to be a challenge. A lot of road games for the Lakers. You know, the Lakers right now are sitting 15-3 on the road. 15-3 on the road. They have a better road record than they do at home. Would have thought, you know, walking into the season, Lakers are doing more damage on the road than they're doing right here at Staples Center. If you look at the Western Conference standings right now, I'm popping it up right now. I know yesterday after the win against the Dallas Mavericks, they had a 2.5 game cushion. And, you know, as always, there's always games going on. So it's kind of always moving. But we're starting to get to that point of the season where we're starting to look at the standings on a night-in, night-out basis. So right now, Lakers at 26-7, 2.5 game lead over the Nuggets, 3.5 game lead over the Clippers, 4 game lead over the Rockets, 4.5 game lead over the Dallas Mavericks. That's the top four teams in the Western Conference right now. When I say I like where we are, I'm obviously looking at where the Lakers' position is in the West. You sit in a position right now where if you played, obviously, anybody in the West, they're going to come through Staples Center. You sit in a position where you feel comfortable that if you played a seven-game set against the Denver Nuggets, you feel the Lakers would win that. You feel comfortable that if you play the Houston Rockets in a seven-game set, which I know we have not seen the Houston Rockets yet this year, but I don't know. That's just not a team that concerns me. I think that's a team that's so dependent on one player, their style of basketball that they play. By the way, first game Lakers will have against Rockets on January 18th. That game's at Houston. So that will be our first taste of playing against the Houston Rockets this season. But I feel comfortable against them. I feel comfortable against the Dallas Mavericks. I feel comfortable against the Utah Jazz, Oklahoma City Thunder, Portland Trailblazers. I feel comfortable against every team in the Western Conference, specifically because we've either beat those teams, we have more talent, or I feel like we have more talent, or I like our chances in a seven-game set, and we'll have home court advantage if this continues. So if you'd have said before the season started, the Lakers would go 26-7 to start the season and have a 2.5-game cushion as we walk into 2020, I'm in. Sign me up. I didn't think the Lakers, I don't want to say that they wouldn't value the regular season, but I didn't think the regular season would be all that important to the Lakers, that they would hover around 3, 4, 5, kind of somewhere in that position. But that has not been the case with the Lakers. They've took care of business. We know how well they were playing at one point, winning 14 road games in a row. And then they went on that 4-game losing streak. So I like the spot that we're in. I like where we sit in the standings. I like the 9-5 record in December. And I think we've beat some pretty good teams, whether at Staples Center or on the road. Here's the one question mark. Your schedule coming up in January. Obviously, I'm setting this all up, and I think Laker fans know what I'm talking about here. Your schedule coming up in January, you have 4 straight games against teams below 500 to start off 2020. So if you're sitting at 26-7 right now, you got a chance that by the time you're about a week into the new year, you could be 30-7. I'll name off the teams that the Lakers got coming up. Phoenix on January 1st, home game. Pelicans on January 3rd, another home game. January 5th against the Detroit Pistons at Staples Center. And January 7th on Tuesday, a week from tomorrow against the New York Knicks. All of these teams are not just below 500. They're well below 500. And with that in mind, this is exactly what I'm talking about. The Lakers can continue to do damage. This is what we were accustomed to the Lakers doing over the latter part of that schedule in November and December. December, the way the Lakers started off the season, obviously before those, the way they started off the month before those, that 4-game losing streak, they were beating up on teams like this. So the Lakers have been doing a fantastic job against some of the lower seeded teams, and that's sometimes the more difficult games that you got to go through, because it's these specific games you're expected to win, but you don't get up for like you do against the big matchups. They got 15 games coming up in the month of January. 15 games against teams that I mentioned you could start off the month really handling work and taking care of business. But then that schedule gets a lot more difficult, and a lot of those games are going to be on the road. I want to talk about that when we come back here in just a second. I also don't want to just talk about those games on the road. There's one game coming up specifically on January 28th that I want to talk about. And that game will determine whether this Lakers team is good enough to win an NBA championship, or they got to make a move before that trade deadline. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. Injured? Need a win? Go to my guy Brad Wallace at the Wallace Firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case. Their team of attorneys have recovered settlements and jury verdicts in excess of $100 million. Insurance companies know the Wallace Firm comes to win and will fight, which means better results for all their clients. When Wallace wins, you win. If you're injured, get the W. Call 844-844-WINS. Or WallaceWins.com. Again, I've got a couple opportunities to meet Brad Wallace over at the Wallace Firm. Obviously runs the firm. Any issue that you have, we know you're not going to need this phone number on a day-to-day basis. But if you are injured and you just want more information about something, or you're in a certain predicament, talk to Brad at the Wallace Firm. Brad Wallace at the Wallace Firm. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS. 844-844-WINS. Or visit WallaceWINS.com. Let me play out January real quick, because I think there's Laker fans out there that are just sitting there saying, oh, Alan, what do you mean you like where the Lakers' position is? You like their position, and you're saying we could beat the Nuggets and the Rockets and the Mavs and the Jazz and the Thunder and the Blazers. You're forgetting one team. You're forgetting about the team that's 2-0 against the Los Angeles Lakers. You're forgetting about the team that right here at Staples Center handled business on Christmas on a nationally televised game and beat the Lakers when it was 99% Laker fans at Staples Center. How are you forgetting about that team? How the hell did you get this Laker show? No, I'm obviously not forgetting about the Clippers, but this is what I want to set up. When I say we're in a great position at this point, and I'm talking about the standings, I like where we're at. I like the way we played in December to have that 9-5 record when it was a difficult schedule. There's a lot of question marks coming up in January for the Lakers. And those question marks are going to obviously have to do – let me point out some of the games that the Lakers have in the month of January. So I already mentioned they got to take advantage of Phoenix, the Pelicans, Detroit, and the New York Knicks, Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks to start off the month of January. So there's your first four games, and they're all at home. After that, you're at Dallas, at OKC, two playoff games, and you know the environment's going to be – it's going to be tough games for both of those games. Oklahoma City, we're 2-0 against them. They're a lot better than they were when we played them earlier in the season. Cleveland and Orlando at home, you should take care of business. And then this is how you end off January. You're at Houston, at Boston, two games in New York, the Knicks and Brooklyn, at Philly, Clippers home game for the Lakers, and then Portland. Out of all those games, yes, a lot of them are important. The game against the Rockets is important. The game against the Boston Celtics, yeah, it'd be fantastic to win in Boston. That's your rival. The two games against New York, you're going to be expected to win those games. Philadelphia, that's a tough place to play. That's a team that you could be facing potentially in the NBA Finals. But there's really only one game that really, really means something in the month of January. I want to make sure I emphasize, I'm not saying, well, if you lose all the other games and you beat the Clippers, it's okay. No. Handle your business. You got 15 games. If you can go 10-5 in the month of January, you're on track. You probably still have the best record in the Western Conference, and that's kind of what you're hoping for. The Lakers put themselves in a position where they're continuing to kind of do what they did in the month of December. Use December as your example of having a good month with a difficult schedule. And this schedule I don't think is as difficult as the December schedule was. But January 28th is going to say a lot. That one game says a lot to me. I'll tell you what it says. If you handle business against the Los Angeles Clippers and you do it in a convincing manner and you correct the mistakes that you made in that last game on Christmas and you don't take as many threes as the Lakers were taking and LeBron James doesn't shoot 12 threes and go 2-12 and the team struggles from the field and we put the Clippers on the free throw line and put them into the bonus with 8 minutes left to go in the third and fourth quarter, if you take those things away and the Lakers, which I thought that 12-point lead at halftime, that 15-point lead in the third quarter, I thought the Lakers were going to take care of business, and by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, I thought it wouldn't even be a game anymore. That's the type of statement I thought the Lakers were going to make against the Clippers. They didn't. They fell flat on their face, and people walked away from that game saying, yep, I don't care what the NBA standings looks like. The best team in LA is the Clippers, and they can make that point, and it's a fair point, especially when you're 0-2 against the team that everybody expects you have to go through to get to the NBA Finals, and vice versa. Everybody expects the Clippers to have to go through the Lakers to get to the NBA Finals. This is what that game on January 28th tells me. It tells me that if you beat the Clippers handily, convincingly, then you know that either one of these teams can come out of the Western Conference, that it could be a coin flip between the Lakers and the Clippers, that to get four games in the NBA playoffs in the Western Conference Finals, most likely if they meet there, that either one of these teams are talented enough to get to the NBA Finals, and it's going to come down to who executes more, what coaches make better adjustments, what players come through, what stars come through, what role players step up, what bench players, how Kuzma does, how Lou Williams does. It's going to come down to that in a seven-game set. But if you lose on January 28th against the Los Angeles Clippers, I'm sorry. That means the Los Angeles Lakers are not good enough and don't have enough talent to beat the Los Angeles Clippers. If you're 0-3 against the Los Angeles Clippers by the time we get through January 28th, that means you have 9 days to figure out something before that NBA trade deadline comes up on February 7th, where you improve your roster to make sure that you can put yourself in a position that come playoff time, your roster is different, your roster is better, and you made the proper adjustments with your roster to make sure that you can go up against the Los Angeles Clippers. That's what January 28th means to me. I don't know what it means to you out there. I know Laker fans that listen to this live or they listen to it on the podcast, whatever the case is. I know that we're happy where the Lakers are, but there's something kind of in the back of your mind that's sitting there saying, but what about when we play the Clippers? What about when we play the Clippers? Are we good enough to beat the Clippers or not? Have we already seen enough? I haven't seen enough, by the way. I'm not going to sit here right now and say, you've lost to them twice. I felt like you should have won the game on Christmas. So I'm going to let January 28th help dictate where I stand on the Lakers and the Clippers. Right now, the Clippers have the edge. No question about it. Psychologically, they have the edge. They have the edge heads up match to battle to battle. They have the edge. What they don't have is they don't have a better record than the Los Angeles Lakers, but that only gives us, on paper, we can say, oh, well, we're a better team. On paper doesn't mean anything when you face a team in the playoffs in a seven-game set, because if they got your number, nobody cares about what the paper says. That's what January 28th means to me. So as I say that, I like where the Lakers sit today. As I talk about, you know, the position that we're in and number one in the Western Conference, of course I'd be lying to Laker fans if I didn't say and if I didn't emphasize that at the end of the day, as good as I feel about the Lakers, I don't feel that good when we play the Clippers, because in two games against the Clippers, we lost both of those games. January 28th, that script can change, and I hope that script changes. But if it doesn't change on January 28th, you have, like I mentioned, about 9 days to figure something out and to make the necessary changes on this roster to try and make sure that this roster is good enough to compete against the Clippers. So that's how I look at the next 30 days for the Lakers. I look at everything kind of built around, how the team does in the month of January, stay atop the Western Conference. But just as important as staying atop the Western Conference is beating up on the Clippers on January 28th. And at least we don't have to wait 2 months or 3 months to get another shot at the Clippers. At least we know that it was about, you know, a 1 month span before we play them again. And because that's the case, we're going to find out a lot about this Los Angeles Lakers roster. And because the NBA trade deadline will be so close after that, maybe it's something in the buyout market. Maybe it's some type of a trade that the Lakers make. But you know that this team is, it's not, well, we'll get them next year, or, you know, we're 2 years away. No. You either win a championship this year or you failed. And that's the position that the Lakers are in. And I know I'm not breaking news, but that's how dire it is that we find out how the Lakers look against the Clippers this January 28th when that game happens. Okay, the legend, Stu Lance, Lakers color commentator since 1987, currently does color commentating with Bill McDonald, Billy Mack on Spectrum Sportsnet. He's coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. Laker fans, celebrate the holidays in style with the finest tequila in the world, ultra premium, small batch, award-winning Sincoro tequila. Sincoro is naturally rich and delicious for a signature taste unlike any other and is the best way to enjoy the season and ring in the new year. Visit Sincoro.com to find a store or location near you. Sincoro Tequila, the official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. Please sip and savor responsibly. Must be 21 years of age or older. MT accused me of taking his Sincoro Tequila, so I just want to make it official. I did not take his tequila, but we appreciate their sponsorship on Lakers Talk. You're listening to the Lakers Talk podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got the legendary Laker color commentator since 1987, Stu Lance, joining the broadcast. Stu, thanks for taking some time to hop on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Is that what does that feel like when I say that? Since 1987, how about that, Stu? What a career that you've had, and you know, I know me just growing up listening to Los Angeles Lakers basketball, getting a chance obviously to see you at all the home games and listen to you on Spectrum Sportsnet. It's really a privilege to have you on the show. So thanks for doing this.
Well, it's really my pleasure, and it also just lets me realize how fortunate I am to be able to say I've worked with the Lakers for that amount of time.
Well, you've seen a lot of teams that have been championship worthy. Obviously, have seen teams that have won NBA championships. Just give me your thoughts on this Lakers team. I know it's been 6 years. We haven't made the postseason. Now, all of a sudden, this team at 26-7, sitting atop the Western Conference as we walk into 2020. What are your overall thoughts of how the team has done so far, and just your thoughts on the rest of the season moving forward?
Well, I mean, the record, it speaks for itself. I mean, 26-7 is obviously a very good record. I don't know if they anticipated that good of a record at this juncture, but I'm sure they anticipated a good record. But at the same time, you know, they've won games, but they haven't been very consistent. When I say they, I mean as a collective unit, the front court of LeBron and AD, they've been pretty consistent throughout, but the backcourt, the perimeter players, have been up and down really throughout the base of this season so far, and that's all they're asking for right now is some consistency in that department. And really, once they get that, I don't know where their limit is going to be.
How critical is that, Stu? You know, if you look at obviously the Lakers top heavy, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, top five players in the NBA. I've said this a couple times on my show. I say that the Lakers will live and die by their role players. And what I mean by that is, and I think that's something that you're referencing to, it can't just be two players. Whether it was the Lakers winning championships with Rick Fox and Derek Fisher and Robert Horry, or before that, the role players in the Showtime era. How critical do these role players become to this Lakers team the rest of the way?
I mean, it's so important to have your so-called role players, play their role and do the job. You do not win championships without them doing their job. It's sure, it's nice to have the couple of the greatest players in the game today, but if the other people surrounding them aren't doing their jobs, then it's going to be very difficult to continue to advance.
Something interesting I think that's happened these last couple of games, Lakers-Clippers on Wednesday, you had Avery Bradley go back into the starting lineup, and the bench has, I don't want to say flourished, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's interesting because KCP, who's been one of the more consistent role players for the Lakers, now comes off the bench. Kuzma, prior to last night's game, was averaging 21 points since his return. Those three games he's been back after he took five games off. Obviously not the night he was looking for yesterday. But the Lakers bench all of a sudden seems like it could be a strength as the season progresses. What have you noticed with KCP coming off the bench, and what are you looking for from Kuzma down the stretch of the way?
Well, those are two key people coming in off the bench. Both of those guys are going to be expected to play at a pretty high level on a consistent basis. KCP is really, I mean, he's really played pretty well all season long. He had a stretch there where he didn't play as well as he could, but he played well on the defensive end. His offense struggled a bit early, but his defense has been pretty consistent throughout. Now his offense is really starting to take form. He's shooting a career high from three-point land right now, and if he continues to play with that kind of confidence, it's going to be a big boost. And, of course, Kuzma is vital. I mean, he is another one of those that has to be on a very consistent basis be able to stretch the defense. But plus, Kuzma can put the ball on the floor a little bit and create some things that way also. So those two are probably your main scorers coming off the bench. And then you've got guys like Caruso coming in. And Dwight Howard has been very consistent mm-hmm. with what his role was expected to be. He has been very good in the paint, whether it's picking lobs, he's protected the rim. He's done a real good job in that department also.
Lakers color commentator on Spectrum Sportsnet, Stu Lance, hopping on Lakers Talk. Stu, let's stay for a quick second on Kuzma. It's interesting with Kuz because Kuz is one of these players. I mean, you used a word there that I think best describes it. It's vital, right? It's that important that Kuz has an impact this season for the Lakers, specifically off the bench. Being a player that's been in the league for just 2 years, this is obviously his third season. He has zero playoff experience. How difficult do you think it is for Kuz to adjust to the roster that he's on? This isn't last year's roster. You know, he's not playing with guys that are his age. He's playing with veterans, been in the league 10, 12, 15 years, whatever the case is. How tough of an adjustment do you think that is for Kuz?
Well, I think the biggest adjustment for Kuz is not that he's playing with a veteran team now. I think the biggest adjustment is the lack of playing time that he was accustomed to, say, last year. With the injury that he sustained during the summer on that with his ankle, it has limited his ability to be on the floor to begin the season. Now he's trying to find his stride, so to speak, but at the same time, his minutes per game have diminished by about 8 to 10 minutes a game. So I think that's the biggest adjustment. When you know you're going to be out there, say, 25 to 30 minutes a night, it's easier to let the game really come to you in a sense. But when you think you're only going to be out there 15 minutes, then you kind of rush things a little bit more, and it makes your production a little bit more difficult to sustain on a consistent basis.
Stu, I know it's just two games, but for the Lakers having started the way they did, 26-3 or 25-3, I'm going to keep throwing out numbers here. They started the season out 24-3. They lose four games in a row. How big were these last two games? Because doing the pregame show with Michael Thompson, we thought that game at Portland was going to obviously be a big challenge. We know the Mavs so far have played the Lakers before yesterday, two tough games. How big were these last two to just get under the Lakers' belt, close out 2019, now a 2.5 game lead in the Western Conference? How vital do you think those two games were to get those before the year came to a close?
Well, when you've lost four in a row, every game becomes very, very vital. Then when you consider the fact that you have to go up to a place where it's been very difficult over the last X number of years to win, and that's in Portland, regardless of their record, then you can see the importance of that game to snap the four-game losing streak. And then in a tough back-to-back against Dallas, as you mentioned, quite frankly, they had game one against the Lakers down in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
They actually had that game won, but they had a brain freeze and allowed something that I call a no-no. The Lakers get a three-pointer to tie it. They go into overtime and win it. So they very easily could have been going into last night game up 2-0 on the series. So it's a tough back-to-back, but they pulled that one out as well. Now, I think it's good to end the 2019 that way and hopefully start 2020 on a real positive note.
Yeah, they got some favorable games coming up, as you know, looking at the schedule. Four games in a row at Staples Center, Phoenix Suns, I know the Pelicans are on that schedule, the Detroit Pistons, the New York Knicks, and I'm not saying those are all guaranteed games. We've watched the Lakers the last couple of years. There's been plenty of games that we thought, okay, well, that's a W, and it ends up being a tough game, or the Lakers end up losing. So Lakers have done a good job this year against teams below 500, but as you said, it could be a great start to 2020. LeBron James turns 35 today. 17 years in the NBA as far as how long he's been a part of the league. What has been your, I want to kind of try and frame this the right way. You've seen some legends rock the purple and gold and play for the Los Angeles Lakers, and LeBron James seems to be his style of basketball is just so unique and so different. He can get to the basket. He can pull up for a mid-range jumper. He can have 29 assists over the last two games like he has. He can have 30 points if he wants to do it. I know this is a very broad question, but give me just your thoughts on what LeBron James has accomplished and what he's still accomplishing 17 years into the league.
You know, when LeBron first came into the league, or even right before he came into the league, all anybody heard about was LeBron James. He was in high school, and, I mean, he was the king. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's unfair to that young man. I mean, there's no way in the world anybody can live up to that kind of hype. Mm. But he came into the league, and not only did he live up to the hype, he exceeded the hype. So he has always been a very, very special type of a player, one that has been idolized by youngsters, even idolized by his peers to some degree, and the way he takes care of himself. You're talking about 17 years of playing NBA basketball, the miles he has on that body, what he's played almost 60,000 minutes in the NBA, that's just unheard of at the kind of pace and play that he performs at. So it's a tribute to the way he takes care of himself, his professionalism, and his attitude toward winning that amazes me the most.
Yeah, Stu, you know, MT always talks about it. Michael Thompson says that 17 seasons, every time I say it, he goes, no, 19 seasons. And he's basically trying to count in all the playoff games that he's played, the Olympic games that he's played, and he's got a point. You know, when you make it to the NBA Finals 8 straight years, you're playing a minimum of 20 games to get there. And it's impressive what he's done so far. Are you, I know this has been a conversation a lot of times around LeBron, and really one of the themes in the NBA is some of this chatter about load management. Let's put load management aside for a quick second, but how do you think, what's the best strategy to use LeBron James, knowing that, you know, the Lakers obviously completely are a different team when LBJ is on the bench, or if he takes a game off or whatever the case is? What do you think the strategy is to make sure that by the time we get to mid-April, Lakers start that playoff run, he's as fresh as possible? What would you say is the smartest way to use LBJ?
Well, I think the smartest way is to listen. And when I say what I mean by listen is to listen to LBJ. He knows better than anybody what his body is saying to him. He'll let you know when he thinks he needs a little bit of rest. I think he's really good at pacing himself during the course of a game. I used the Portland game the other night as an example. I mean, he was questionable to play, but he comes out and he plays, and I thought he really did a good job of picking his spots as to when he wanted to really exert himself. So even though he played 37 minutes, he picked and chose when he wanted to exert in those 37 minutes. So I think the biggest key is going to be moving forward, listen to LeBron, because LeBron is listening to his body, and your body speaks very loud to those that are willing to listen.
Stu, final question. Anthony Davis, obviously the big offseason acquisition and a big part to what the Lakers are doing right now, and a big reason why the Lakers got a shot at winning an NBA championship this year. What part of Anthony Davis' game as the season progresses do you want to see more of? Do you think he's aggressive enough? Do you think he demands the ball enough? Or do you feel like the way he plays basketball and kind of plays within the flow of the offense, and we know his impact on the defensive side, is there anything different you want to see from AD as we get to the final stretch here?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, AD has really, really impressed me. I mean, he impressed me before the Lakers acquired him when he was the opposition, and you see him four times a year or so, you knew how good he was. But when you see him now every night, you really see all the elements that he brings on a consistent basis. He's one of the very, very unique players also that has the ability to do so many different things. He can score in three different areas. He's added the long ball into his repertoire. He's got the great mid-range game, and of course he's very tough on the box. So he's very tough to cover. And I think if he just continues to play the way he's played with the kind of focus, and I think his focus has really been good. His passing ability, for example, has been something that I think has gone overlooked. I mean, he spots the double teams and knows where to deliver the ball to the open people. So just continue to play the way he's played and hopefully stay healthy, and Anthony Davis will be just fine.
Stu, thank you for doing this, my man. I appreciate you taking some time, and we will see you on Wednesday, Lakers taking on the Suns.
See you Wednesday.
All right, thank you, Stu.
All right.
Man, that was great. Great to have Stu Lance join the Lakers Talk broadcast. Always enjoy listening to him on Spectrum Sportsnet. Since 1987, he's been making it happen. We got Shootout coming up next. Funches is out. Jesse Lopez is in, so he's substituting here. Shootout coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. Welcome back to Lakers Talk. How about Stu Lance joining the broadcast? That was great. I had to ask him yesterday when I was at the Lakers game, and he is so kind, such a good man, to take some time and hop on the show. So great to do Stu Lance and have him just get his thoughts about the Lakers so far this year. All right, we got some shootout. Let's get some shootout started, Jesse.
This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. It's time for Shootout, presented by the Wallace Firm. Wallace Firm.
Jesse filling in for Michael Funches. Michael Funches took a DNP tonight.
He did.
Took a DNP.
Is he on load management?
He's on load management and
well, you know, he just got engaged.
Just got engaged.
So he, you know, he's probably on load management.
Nope,
for
he's
that.
Suspended. He's suspended. you know, if you're going to all of a sudden say because you got engaged that you can't come on late night and do a little Lakers talk, look, I lose your respect.
While Funches is suspended, I will rise to the occasion. I will be like KCP and step up.
Look at KCP making
it happen. Look at that.
Lately.
Never thought I'd hear myself say that.
All right, Jesse, before we get started here, did you know Shootout is sponsored?
What? Sponsored?
Shootout is presented by the Wallace Firm. Injure, need a win, go to my guy, Brad Wallace, at the Wallace Firm. Proven try lawyers who can get you a W for your case if you're injured. Get the W. Call 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. No win, no fee, 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. We appreciate their partnership on this broadcast. Let's get started, Jesse.
All right, man, where were we?
Yes, where were we? Well, before we officially start.
That's Super Troopers, by the way.
Yes,
it
is.
For those who are
yes, it is.
On the car or in their car listening to the podcast, play it one more time. Play it one more time.
All right, man, where were we?
All right,
that
meow.
Scene kills me. All right, keep going.
Before we officially start, let's all celebrate and wish LeBron James happy birthday.
35 years old today.
No, 35 years young.
35 years young.
Young.
Today.
I mean, he was on top of the world yesterday.
You know he has 29 assists in the last two games?
That's amazing.
29 assists in the last two games.
He's going to lead the league in assists at 35 years old.
I'm trying to tell Laker fans out there because there's still, believe it or not, there's still a lot of criticism that comes in around LeBron.
Yes.
And by the way, Jess, like, sometimes I get it. They weren't happy against that game against the Clippers. They didn't like that he was settling for the three-pointers. There's times you could really critique his game, right? But every time his game is critiqued, the dude's a rebound away from a triple-double. Or he has 14 assists. Or he has 27 points. It's like, that just shows you how great he is. I'm not telling Laker fans to stop critiquing him because the expectations he has set is, you know, this bar is so high, but sometimes we got to just take a step back and appreciate what this 35-year-old is doing.
He's so great, people are looking at what he's not doing as opposed to what he's doing.
Yeah, and that happens with the greats. Kobe, Magic, you can name off so many of Shaq, so many of these great players that have been a part of the Lakers organization. When you're one of the best and you're expected to win an NBA championship, your game's going to be critiqued.
All right, so happy birthday, LeBron James.
Give me a liter of cola.
That's a liter of cola.
Liter of cola. Anyone got a liter of cola? All right, so according to The Athletic's Ethan Strauss,
yeah,
the T-Wolves star big man, Karl-Anthony Towns, is unhappy in Minnesota. At least that's what was the chatter among team execs at a recent G League showcase. Stratus also mentions that the Warriors are closely monitoring the situation with Kat. Now, it's no secret that D'Lo and Kat are close friends. Have they been long linked together to want to play together? But a lot of talk was that D'Lo was going to go to the T-Wolves from the Warriors.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Warriors are all of a sudden, you know, playing pretty well. They won the last four out of the last five. And they were looking like they were going to beat the Mavs last week until D'Lo got hurt. And they have a bunch of young talent. What could you possibly call if the Warriors pull off some kind of miracle and get Kat? And they have a lineup of Kat, Klay, D'Lo, and Steph. What do you even call that?
It can't happen. It just can't, because if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves and you're kind of sitting in that position, and you want to put Kat up in the you want to put Karl-Anthony Towns up in the trade market, teams are just going to offer more. What are they going to offer? You know, like what can possibly the Golden State Warriors offer? Now they're in draft status, right? So they could potentially offer if they get a number one pick or a number two pick or something along those lines.
Yeah, picks are a lot more valuable now.
But then you got to match contracts.
What we can sign and trade for Draymond, because if Kat's coming, Draymond's gone.
Yeah, if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, Yeah, you're asking for the house. You know, you're going to try and ask for the house. And I don't blame them. That's what they should do. But the problem, I'm going to tell you, first of all, they better get the number one pick. And that's number one. So that means it has to be in the offseason when you already figured out what your pick status is. That's number one. And number two, why don't you put him up in the open market and see what other teams are offering? Because other teams are going to be offering stars as well and high draft picks and everything else.
Yeah, look at what the Lakers got for Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
There'll be some other team. But I read that and I couldn't believe it.
I thought D'Angelo, if it was like, okay, D'Angelo's traded to D'Angelo and a high draft pick's traded for Andrew Wiggins. Use that as an example. He gets to now go play with,
Wiggins on the Warriors?
He gets to now go play with, obviously Karl Anthony Towns. And then Wiggins now can come into a system where Clay, Steph, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and whoever your center is, they're back next year as a title contender.
That would be.
But don't tell the Warriors I said that.
No, let's not. Let's keep that to ourselves.
Yeah.
You boys like Mexico? Yeah!
All right, Alan. Earlier today, NBA experts from ESPN released their NBA All-Decade Starting Five. Now, Alan, you said you haven't seen this.
I have not seen the list.
All right. Now, All-Decade, so that's from, this past 10 years.
Okay.
Give me your starting five. Who do you think they put on the starting five?
I'll just give you mine, and I'm not going to care what they think. I'll give you mine. I'll put, as my starting point guard all decade. Let me just do this. Kobe's at the two. LeBron's at the three. I'm probably putting, when did Duncan retire?
Early teens. I wouldn't even think he'd be considered.
All right, I'll put Dirk at my four. My five, who am I putting at the five? When did Dirk retire? Well, him and Kobe are kind of the same. So are they not putting guys like Kobe and Dirk in it? Because
you've only gotten one person.
LeBron. LeBron's going to be the only one.
So I'm going to tell you what they put. So at point guard, they have Steph.
I'd put at one.
James Harden.
I would not. I'd put Kobe.
LeBron James.
Yep.
Kevin Durant.
KD, completely fine. I get that.
And Anthony Davis.
Where's Kawhi? All decade. Yeah, I don't think AD can get into that mix either.
Neither do I.
Okay, wait. So this is what I'm confused about. What I'm confused about is you have legends that were still making it happen in this decade. Like Dirk won an NBA championship in this decade. Kobe won an NBA championship in this decade.
A bit early, but he did.
But are they saying, look, I could see what they're saying. I think they're saying you have to have played all 10 years. Like your body of work has to comprise of 10 years. If that's the case, Steph at your point, I'm okay with.
Yes, I'm okay with that because he totally changed the game.
Harden, I wouldn't put at my two.
I wouldn't put him at that. I'd put Kawhi right there easily.
LeBron at three.
Okay, I don't
questionable.
Know.
Questionable. No, I'm
kidding. No one's going to question that.
Four, KD. I won't question that one either.
Yeah, it's really hard to
KD,
question
I won't
that.
Question that. And then the five, you said, who's there?
Anthony Davis.
AD at the five. The lineup's good. It's just, that wouldn't be, AD wouldn't be at the five either.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be in an all-decade team.
Who would be at the five, though, at this
point? AD's been 8 years in the NBA.
And AD's not really a center.
Right.
He hates playing the center, apparently.
Who would be at the center?
It's a really hard, that's like a real thinker. Cause without a doubt, you take out Harden and put Kawhi. But for the center, that's kind of more,
problem is Kawhi plays at three. So he's playing the same position as, I know why they're putting Harden at two.
Yeah.
It's a fun conversation. My question is, what's the criteria? Because if you're doing an all-decade team and Kobe Bryant's not in there, obviously you're saying, okay, this is somebody that has had to have played all 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
If Dirk's not in there, you're saying he has to have had played all 10 years. So I get that. Or maybe towards the end of their career, they weren't the player that they were when these young guns were starting to just get into their own.
Do you want to dip a size your meal for a quarter more?
Want me to punch a size your face for free?
It's free, guys. It's free. You don't even have to pay a price for it.
For free. I love free things. Who doesn't love free things?
Doesn't love free things.
All right, Alan. So this is, last thing, a shootout. Before we call 2019 history, let's look back and just discuss our top Laker moments of the decade.
Let's do it.
Now, I think for both of us, the number one thing, and for every Laker fans, is the 2010 championship.
Yeah, 2010, you not only...
I got Wheaties!
Oh my gosh, Meta, that's right, I forgot about that. Not only did you get an NBA championship, you got it against the Boston Celtics, you got it right here at Staples Center, you got it.
One of the
seven.
More better NBA final series. Like, that was a 7-game classic.
Yeah, that was, and it was ugly too. It wasn't pretty basketball. Ugly. It was old school basketball. It was guys that, you know, you kind of, Kobe was old school. KG super. Was old school. Paul Pierce, you know, these guys played, their style of basketball was old school. Phil Jackson, Doc Rivers, historic franchises. I think we both agree that in the decade, that was the greatest Lakers moment in the decade.
Hands down. Some mentions for me, Kobe's last All-Star game in LA.
Mm.
I remember watching that game and he went ham.
Yeah, Kobe.
It was in 2011. He got named MVP while recording a double-double, 37-14 in an All-Star game.
Damn, he had 37-14?
And I think that was the year he blocked LeBron from behind, too.
Was that the year it was, like, raining like crazy that entire weekend? I remember these events that were supposed to go down for NBA All-Star weekend.
It
might have been because
it was the last All-Star game that was here. So it was Kobe's last All-Star game at Staples.
Another Kobe moment, obviously his final game. Final game as a Los Angeles Laker. What do you have, 60?
60 points on 50 shots.
Against the Utah. Against the Utah Jazz. Obviously, that's a memorable moment. And then, even these last couple of years, I know the Lakers haven't made the playoffs, but signing LeBron James, that was kind of like, what are those moments where you won't remember where you were. I know for me, I remember where I was.
I remember exactly where I was at. I was on the toilet.
LeBron James, thank you for sharing that information. LeBron James obviously signing with the Lakers. And then even, you know, some of these other moments where Anthony Davis, that trade becomes official.
I mean, signing LeBron James pretty much led
that started
to trading for Anthony Davis. If we don't get LeBron James, we likely still have Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart.
How about just put all that aside? If we don't get LeBron James, we're not sitting with the number one seed right now in the Western Conference at 26-7. So,
also
you know, that obviously has a lot to do with it. But the AD stuff, that was an exciting moment too. I remember I was just leaving the gym and my phone starts buzzing and you see Wojnarowski tweets and all that come out. And I literally was in downtown and I texted Dana and Amanda at the time. Within 15 minutes, I was here and I was live on radio. So it was like so cool to just be in that mix. AD's a Laker, and then we can let Laker fans react to it. It was fantastic.
Beautiful. And one last honorable mention, just because it's the most Kobe of Kobe-est things.
Yeah.
Kobe hitting those two free throws with the torn Achilles and walking off the court on his own power, no help.
Oh, Kobe Bryant. Not too many like him. Not too many like him. I told, MT was telling a story where he mentioned that in the pregame show. I'm like, what about Clay? Clay tore his ACL, walked up in the NBA Finals.
That's right.
You know, people forget about that. He took both free throws, wanted to stay in the game. I mean, that's just, they don't, let's just say they don't make them like that anymore, that
no,
mentality and that breed. So, great stuff, Jesse.
Good stuff, Alan.
All right. So, Laker fans, this is it. This is the last one. This is the last one for the year. We obviously appreciate you guys tuning in. Download the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Just search Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. Lakers next game coming up this Wednesday. They take on the Phoenix Suns. We'll make it 3 wins in a row there, and then we'll get the postgame show after that. Pregame show starts at 6 o'clock. Laker fans, have a fantastic New Year's, New Year's Eve. Be safe out there, and we'll get back at it at the new year. You're listening to the Lakers Talk podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.